In the weeks after September 11th, large numbers of people responded to requests for donations of blood and money. They demonstrated the kind of empathy and generosity Americans often show when their fellow citizens need help. As the U.S. proceeds with what President Bush calls a new kind of war, it's still unclear what future sacrifices, if any, people may be asked to make. NPR's Andy Bowers visited Springfield, Missouri to ask residents what they think about wartime sacrifice.
It's hard to imagine government leaders making this kind of appeal to today's Americans.
America's fighting men need meat, the best meat, plenty of it.
That's why we civilians are holding our consumption to 2.5 pounds weekly.
As a housewife, I find I can still prepare delicious, nourishing meals. There's no.
Of course, World War II was a very different time and a very different war, but plenty of older Americans remember these appeals vividly.
The sugar bowl on your table, and if you live along the eastern seaboard, the gas tank on your car. Both play an important part in America's fight. Sugar ships from Cuba, oil tankers on our east coast. These have been favorite Nazi targets. Help save ships. Help save American lives by conserving sugar and gasoline.
There were much greater sacrifices, too, as millions enlisted or were drafted, and nearly 300,000 never came home. And before that, the Civil War brought the fighting itself to American soil. The music of the Civil War fills General Sweeney's Museum near Springfield, Missouri. The museum stands next to Wilson's Creek, site of the war's first major battle west of the Mississippi. Joe Furtag, who works at the museum, says many viewed sacrifice in very stark terms back then.
I know in the 19th century it was every man's romantic duty to feel that the best thing they could do for their country was to die for it, but that's very futile and wasteful. Something that 19th century popular press came up with. As General Patton told us, that no soldier ever won a war by dying for his country.
Although Patton's language was saltier, and he went on to say, quote, "You win a war by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country." But very few Americans are being asked to do either at the moment. What most have been asked to do, Joe Furtag has already done.
I did buy an expensive TV on the 11th, and we also spent several thousand dollars on new furniture since the 11th, so it was kind of the decision to help stabilize the economy and things like that.
American leaders continue to urge us to live our lives normally, if on heightened alert, and many in Springfield seem happy to oblige. Shoppers still pack the massive Bass Pro Shop, billed as Missouri's largest tourist attraction. And at the High Street Baptist Church, the theme of the sermon is more eternal than topical.
If we're talking about the whoremongers, if we're talking about the alcoholics, if we're talking about sins of the flesh, every one of us as Baptists are out there saying, man, give it to them.
After the service, a number of congregants wondered whether today's Americans would be as willing as previous generations to curtail their lifestyles if the war intensifies. Perry Hoagie is 26.
The majority of young people are too self-centered. The majority of people I see that are in my age group anyway seem to want or expect things to be given to them and not have to work for them.
Susan Dell feels Americans need to sacrifice what she calls their decadence if God is going to help the country win the war on terrorism. Dell knows the Reverend Jerry Falwell was criticized for saying so, but she agrees that God allowed the September 11th attacks in order to get America's attention.
We've allowed killing innocent and unborn children. God's not going to bless a country that allows that. Homosexuality. I believe that that's a sin. And if the United States does not come back to God, we may not win this war.
Retired school teacher Russ Somerville has a more earthly notion of how Americans could help the war effort. He sees dependence on foreign oil as part of the problem, so he thinks the country should give up its reluctance to drill in places like the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. At the same time, even if he could afford one, Somerville says he wouldn't buy an SUV.
Just because somebody would have the ability to buy something that's a gas hog, I don't think they should necessarily do it, you know, just so they can look good in suburbia or just whatever they're trying to portray.
Springfield is a largely Christian community. There's only one synagogue to serve the small Jewish population. Its rabbi, Rita Sherwin, feels this new war has already forced Americans to sacrifice what she calls our self-concept.
We've tended to see ourselves as invulnerable, and now we realize that we are very vulnerable indeed.
Rabbi Sherwin also feels some Americans now see their country as a little less, in her words, pure and unsullied.
Because I think one of the things that bothers Americans the most now is that in our strikes against the Taliban forces, we are killing civilians, and that's, you know, we're killing innocent people, and that's what happens in a war.
The United Nations has tried to grapple with terrorism basically since 1972, if not before. But to date, every single convention regarding terrorism coming out of the UN does not define terrorism.
The lectures in Professor Ken Rutherford's international relations class are suddenly saturated with the latest news. Rutherford, who teaches at Southwest Missouri State University in Springfield, knows something about sacrifice. While doing aid work in Somalia a decade ago, a landmine claimed both his legs. But he has continued to travel the world for the anti-landmine cause. And for students considering what they might do to help the country, he has two words.
Peace Corps. It really enhances our national security. We have thousands of Americans currently working in developing countries, learning local languages, learning the culture, they're training future policymakers, potentially future presidents of these countries. So that helps, and these Americans come back and they strengthen our society with international awareness, understanding, speaking foreign languages.
Rutherford also wouldn't mind seeing his students serve in the military. After class, some say they've considered enlisting, including Cameron Matthews, who already spent 3 years in the Army. But he has his doubts about this cause.
The Afghan people necessarily haven't done anything to us. It's a small percentage, it's a small population that has caused the problem within the United States. And so to take out that group of people, yes, but to just go all out in a country, that part I don't see as it being a cause worth dying for.
Another student, angry about what he sees as a government crackdown on civil liberties, said emphatically, "I'm not willing to die for anything." Back at the High Street Baptist Church, 15-year-old Brendan Moss is praying for his dad, who he says is an Arabic translator with U.S. military intelligence. Brendan doesn't know where his father is right now.
I'm sad that he has to go. At the same time, that's what he signed up for in the beginning, and that's what he's going to do. So.
And Brendan has no doubt what role he wants to play in the ongoing war on terrorism.
If I could jump up, go over there right now and help my dad in any way, shape, or form, or help the U.S., I'd be over there in a minute. I mean, I'll enlist as soon as I'm 18, as soon as I'm out of high school.
Andy Bowers, NPR News, Springfield, Missouri.